You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. And joining me in this endeavor into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hi, I'm Mike. I'm retired and I have a problem.
And I'm Steve Megatron. So this week on the podcast, we're going to be talking about nothing COVID related. So there's that.
Okay, since you said that, I have to bring this up.
We're going back to normal. We're going back to the future.
Mm-hmm. We're recording this Tuesday, May 12th. 6 days ago, it had been 1 year since I had brain surgery. If I had had to have had brain surgery 6 days ago, I'd be going even more out of my mind than I was a year ago when I had it.
When you had your mind?
I've never had my mind. but yeah, it's been a year since the brain surgery. Obviously, I'm doing much, much better. I still get headaches here and there, but it's nothing like it was the 6 months before the brain surgery, because that 6 months leading up to it was like two different doctors basically said, unless you go have surgery, your brain is going to pop out of your skull because of all the excess fluid that was building on my brain.
That's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
If so, you don't do it, you're going to die.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, much, much better. So that's really the only thing that I wanted to bring up was, in retrospect and hindsight and whatever else, I don't know what it would be like. I know what it would be like if I had to have it now. I'd be in the hospital by myself because Karen wouldn't even probably be able to be there. Kind of a thing, so because of all of everything that's going on now. Anyway, to the geekdom.
To the geekdom. To the geek cave. That's actually kind of funny. So one of the interesting things that kind of popped up this week, whether it happens or not, is a different story, but they were saying that Amazon was looking at possibly purchasing AMC Entertainment.
Hmm.
Which is a major movie theater chain.
Yep.
The funny thing is, though, is what was it? And I forget if it was on Facebook or Twitter. Let me see if it was. It was Scanna51. He says, all I want for my birthday is this. WB AT&T buys Regal, which is another cinema. Universal, right. Comcast buys AMC. Sony buys Cinemark. Disney buys Alamo. Is that too much to ask? I want to live like it's in the 40s. Which, for those that don't know, back in the olden days, the studios owned the movie theater chains.
Mm-hmm.
They were not separate entities.
Right.
Which was a good thing and a bad thing, because the bad thing, they push what they want because they own it. So that they could also be kind of a detriment, because let's say they don't want to show movies by the other opposing company.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to travel to another movie theater chain to get to see what you want.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the way they play it, or it could become down to a licensing thing. Which would just get messy, and it's just, honestly, I don't think it'd be worth it. But the interesting thing is there's a lot of consolidation going on, especially now that everything is, painful and hurt, and,
mm-hmm.
And honestly, this was made legal before COVID ever hit.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see if this actually comes to pass of something to this degree. Because the movie theaters are not doing well, and as we kind of covered as we kind of covered in the last episode, due to the, you know, the experiment with Trolls and the fact that it worked well for streaming, I don't see movie theaters being that all that big of a thing beyond this. Especially the fact that nobody's going to actually get to sit down in them for a while.
Well, here's the thing: no one's going to get to sit down in them in a while, and who's really going to go out? Like, I forget if it was the other day or today or whenever. Somebody on my Facebook feed asked about, you know, once the government or states or whatever opens back up, whether it's fully open or whether it's, you know, these phased plan openings, how are you going to feel about that? Are you going to want to go out? Are you going to, you know, what's the one thing you want to do that you can't do currently? Like, most people are like, oh, I'd like to go to a restaurant and whatever else. I would too. Like, I know my wife and I would love to go out to eat. So we would love to be able to do that again, especially since we've only been living here for the last 5 months now. So we still haven't really explored everything in our area, kind of thing. But the thing of it is I've always been a homebody, virus or no virus. I've never really cared too much about going out to eat, or I used to love going to the movies. So I always go by myself, obviously, but I don't want to go outside and die. That's my thing. Mask, no mask, whatever. You know, there's so many conflicting things about the masks now. I've seen one of my nurse friends post like 7 different things on Facebook in the last 2 days about how wearing masks causes new
respiratory issues.
Yeah. And I understand that, but you're only supposed to be wearing the masks while you're out. Like, this is not counting first responders. This is not counting medical. This is not counting any of that. This is counting you or I, or my wife, your children going to the grocery store or something. Because here's the thing. Yeah, you guys can, you know, Mary can stay at home with the kids, or you can stay at home with the kids while one of you goes to the grocery store. You know, Karen and I, we don't have kids, but we need each other's help in shopping half the time. So it's like, we go out, we wear the mask, we come home, we take the mask off. Luckily, I have a mask now where I feel like I can actually breathe in it. The other ones I've had so far, I was suffocating immediately. But I have one now where it's much, much better. My point in saying all of this, and it's not really avoiding COVID, is it? I don't really want to go out and gather with anybody at all. I don't care what the venue is. I don't care if it's a movie theater. I don't care if it's a restaurant, a church, a library. I don't want to be with other people physically. I'm perfectly fine with online life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if it was family or if it was like close friends, yeah, sure. But just to go out to do something else, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of torn in that department. I really am wanting to leave the house and kind of tired of being cooped up. That being said, when it comes to going to like the store or going hiking or something, we've not stopped doing those two things. Like the store in the terms of grocery, like,
right. Obviously.
Cause I mean, there are other things open, but, I honestly wouldn't be going to most anything because one, I don't like to wait in lines at all. And that's something that like drives my wife nuts at times. I cannot absolutely stand dealing with waiting. what really peeves me is if a store supposedly carries something, or you would think that they would carry it, and they don't. Because they just don't carry that product, and so I end up having to buy it online anyway. which just infuriates the crap out of me. I don't know. It's just,
I mean, you can still like you guys, you just said you guys go out and still hike. Okay. You can still go as long as the,
they did close the Rocky Mountain National Park and it reopens at the end of May, which I'm thankful for, okay, because there's a lot of parks we can't get to, but
right. Okay. Well, with the parks being closed until they open back up, some have, some haven't. Actually, it's funny. The park that we live right next to, it didn't close because it's a small enough park where it's not like it's in the middle of downtown Vancouver, Washington. It's a basically a very much tinier version of like something like Central Park or something. And I'm not really trying to compare the two, but I'm saying it's not like one of these big ass parks that needs to be closed. My point in saying this is that Karen and I have gone for a drive. We can still get out of the house. We don't like, but for the necessity type stuff, for the, you know, entertainment type stuff, all I got to say is thank God for streaming services and video on demand where you can buy films or TV shows. Because if there were video stores today, oh my God, those would be the first things to close down right now. Because ain't nobody going to go to the movie store.
Yeah.
And deal with all those people. You look at Blockbuster in the late 80s, early 90s to mid 90s. You look at Family Video, Adventure, and you look at any video store that was open back in our childhood. I remember at least, besides myself and my mom, five or six other families. So husband, wife, two or three children, sometimes four. At least 10 people in the video store at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know certain stores nowadays are limiting customers.
Do not go in there. Woo!
Yeah, so back in the day, there were at least at a time 10 people in the video store. And I know some stores now that are open, even Walmarts, are limiting customers, you know, five or six customers at a time kind of thing. But other than what I need by necessity, like a grocery store, I have zero interest for brick and mortar shopping right now because I don't want to deal with the people.
Yeah, I get that. And the other thing, if you go out now, you're more or less treated like a crazy person if you don't have a mask. Granted, I mean, we have them. I don't particularly enjoy wearing them, so I just prefer not to go anywhere. But nevertheless, I don't know. I'm kind of torn at this point in time.
Yeah.
As far as going anywhere. Because I'm not, like, overly cautious about it, but at the same time, I'm not, I'm not the type that's going to purposely, like, endanger people, like, because, just because
right.
I don't personally see a huge issue, not wearing it when I don't have it. Because again, you're breathing in, like, it's, for one, it's hard to breathe with those blasted things on your face. And if you've got glasses, that's a whole nother issue.
yeah, it is.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not entirely sure what, you know, more or less what direction to go with it.
It's going to be interesting to see what AMC and Amazon, if they come to some sort of agreement or something. It's going to be completely interesting. I think all of our entertainment, like you guys were talking about a couple weeks ago, the changes in entertainment, it's going to be interesting to see what the companies do and how they progress as we go forward.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Speaking of entertainment, This day in Simpsons history, Homer Simpson was born May 12th, 1956. Homer Simpson is 64 years old, according to his Springfield driver's license.
And yet, he hasn't aged a day in years.
Exactly. The more depressing part for me, it lists his weight at 240 pounds. Okay. I'm fatter than Homer Simpson. God, my life sucks.
Yeah, it's funny. Homer's an old man. you thought I was going to talk about you. You conceited. Ignoramus. Anyways. In addition to that, insanity there. Speaking of insanity, the Joker is about to make, aside from the fact that they're teasing and finally getting close to releasing the triple Joker play in comics, they're trying to pull a Killing Joke thing again. Only this time with Robin or
Nightwing.
Nightwing, Dick Grayson.
Actually, it's funny. It's not Dick Grayson.
I know, it's Rick.
Well, it's because he lost his memory and everything. It's a whole thing that I'm not up on. I saw the story in my Google feed. Now, this is coming to us from ScreenRant.com. And I think it's interesting, and I think it's cool. It makes me want to – I've wanted to check out the new Nightwing series. You know, my concerns about Rick Grayson aside, but now that I know it's a memory thing – apparently they're going to be doing a Joker War event. So there's that, and Joker knows the secret identities of the Bat family, and the meetup will be a prelude to more of the violent things to come. Nightwing will need to figure out a way to get out of Joker's hold, as the last thing he or anyone on the Bat family needs is to run into a bullet. I just love the cover. That's really, like, I think the cover is super cool. And I think it's interesting, you know, going back to that time, you know, and referencing that time in comics.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Stop me if you've heard this one before.
Yeah, I don't have the rest of it in front of me, but...
Oh, come on!
All right, I'll say it.
Oh my God, otherwise... do I need to do this?
Here, stop. A sidekick runs into a bullet. Stop me if you've heard this one before.
There you go. Yeah. It's very, very creepy.
Yes. The Joker War. Yeah. Yeah, they teased it at the end of when Batman was in the chair that gave him all knowledge. He's like, there's three of them? And then that just kind of, then it never kind of went from there.
Well, okay, so you're talking about that Batman found out there was three Jokers.
Yes.
That's where Jason Fabok's story, or the book that he's going to be doing art on, Batman Three Jokers, that's where that was supposed to pick up. Mm. It was supposed to be this other series that was supposed to happen. And apparently it's still happening. It just hasn't happened yet because of whatever, not just viruses or anything like that. It just had not happened yet. Because I remember sharing to our various social pages, Pullbag, GCRN, yada, yada, yada. I remember sharing the images that Jason posted on Facebook. I don't remember when this was, but I remember that I did share them. Since we're talking about Batman, I guess we can talk briefly about the CW. I'm slowly losing interest. I mean, I've been losing interest in Supergirl since, like, season 4. But
you know, funny you should say that. I actually dropped Batwoman after the second episode, after the crisis. And then I dropped Supergirl at the same time. And yeah. Legends is still somewhat decent. Although it doesn't appear that much of Crisis has really affected anything. As far as their stuff's concerned. But I don't find it... I don't find that I care particularly as much as I used to on their end of things. And the same thing goes with The Flash. I don't feel like I care as I once did for what they have going down.
I think it's finally interesting, but I just want it to hurry up. I just want it to hurry up and get to the conclusion of it all. As far as Batman 3 Jokers, it is going to be, I believe, a, if I have this right, a DC Black Label 3-book series, I assume. Jason Fabok, who is the artist, posted this on March 14th of this year. So keep in mind, folks, this is from March 14th, 2020. Announced yesterday, the variant for book one of Batman 3 Jokers, Batman. The A cover is the Joker and the B cover is Batman. The idea for these covers was to have a bold, striking in-your-face image that popped off the shelf. Obviously, I'm taking inspiration from Brian Bolland's cover to The Killing Joke. Imagine these books on the shelf as you walk into a comic shop. We wanted something that summed up how important and special this book will really be. Something that you would instantly draw you in and hook you. With Brad's colors and these covers totally pop. I'm very proud of them. Can't wait to show you the cover dress as well. He says more next week, and I don't know if he ever shared anything else about it.
So. Yeah, I'm again kind of looking forward to seeing what they do, you know, with this.
Because I remember when we when this was first announced, I was like, "Ooh, this is something we should cover on the Pullbag at some point," and it just never got announced. I mean, it got announced, it just never got released yet, so it'll be coming at some point, I guess.
Yeah, I'm interested anyway.
Yeah,
I guess absolutely. I'll just leave it at that. So yes, from there... yeah, I know it's really janky, transition there, but, I'm preoccupied. The thing is, and I'm going to explain this just on here, I'm trying to learn how to do new art in a different program that I'm not acclimated to. I'm used to using Adobe Fireworks, which I've been using since Macromedia owned it before Adobe bought it. And the issue I've run into is there's some instances where I need to know how to use Photoshop and Illustrator. And I don't know how. that's the thing, is I'm trying to learn how to use them, and so I'm installing them at the same time, and I'm also like looking things up, so
yeah, basically what he's saying, folks, is Steve's multitasking while he's supposed to be podcasting.
Yes, which I'm not gonna lie, that sometimes happens, and that's why if like you listen to certain Altered Geeks and I have more than one host,
most of them are talking and you're not.
Well, if they go into a tangent that I have no idea where they're going, or they're talking about something I have no knowledge of, and they're like, "Oh, Steve's been pretty quiet, blah, blah, blah." It's because I know nothing about what they're talking about. So rather than pipe up and sound like a complete ignoramus, I just hit the mute button, and then I start playing Star Trek Online. Or looking things up, or messing with graphics. It just kind of depends. So anyways,
see, folks, you're getting insider tips to the GCRN's complete and utter lack of failure when it comes to podcasting.
It's not always this bad.
we've had worse.
Yeah, we've had worse. You know, the 5 a.m. recordings, those were just atrocious in the start of the network. But earlier on, I forget what week it was. I think it was, it was May 8th. Square Enix Eidos released an anthology series of 54 games for $40 to support charity. And it's insane, and I'm not going to list all the games. I'll list the franchises because that's a shorter list. Basically, anything Deus Ex, Tomb Raider. My goodness, there's Tomb Raider. Kane and Lynch, Just Cause, Thief, Battle Stations, Supreme Commander, Conflict, Legacy of Kane, Blood Omen, Dungeon Siege, and a multitude of other games that they've produced. They released this huge pile of games, which isn't a bad idea or a bad deal, because they're saying like all the revenue from this bundle will go directly to charities and food banks across North America and Europe. However, they didn't keep the deal going very long. It literally went like a 3 or 4 day span, and then they were like, okay, game over. it was like, oh, for 3 days, you know, we'll make it available. So they did that, and it was on Steam, and honestly, it's not a bad deal when they did that. I don't particularly care for any of the games that were available, but it was still nice to see the gesture and the fact that you get that massive library.
Yeah, I mean, it's very cool. I think I played other Eidos games that were not on, because I was never really a Tomb Raider guy.
I never really was either. And people are like, you should have played it. It's like the people that are like super into Legend of Zelda or Final Fantasy. Like, my brother plays the crap out of Final Fantasy, and I'm not spending a subscription fee to play a game. If I want to pay for DLC, that's one thing. But if you know, I won't pay a monthly charge. Because even when you do that, you still, there are certain things that you can't get unless you pay money. So it's like, right, I'd rather get it for free, and then if I do microtransactions, then so be it.
Yep. I don't know, I just couldn't get into the mechanics of Tomb Raider. And at the time, Tomb Raider had just come out, and so did Metal Gear Solid. And I much prefer the mechanics and the gameplay for Metal Gear Solid.
I can see that. When did that first come out? Was that on PC, or was that on, or not PC, but PlayStation, or was that on like Super Nintendo?
Metal Gear Solid came out on PlayStation, the That's original what I thought. PlayStation. Yeah, 1998, I believe. And I know obviously Metal Gear had been around. It's been a franchise longer than that. It was on NES and whatever, but the Solid version of it.
Solid Snake.
Yep.
The other thing that I thought was kind of interesting that kind of popped up this week, and it was kind of foreshadowed, per se, but they kind of let it slip that it was going to happen anyway at some point. They dropped the bombshell that The Mandalorian is going to have Temuera Morrison return to the Star Wars franchise to play Boba Fett.
Didn't he die?
He played Jango Fett in the original.
No. I know. I understand.
They had Boba Fett fall in the Sarlacc pit in Return of the Jedi, but they didn't show him. They showed him go down, but they didn't show anything beyond that.
Right. So they can.
And they had, you know, if they don't show you die, then you're still alive.
Here's the problem with this, though, for me. Isn't, like, The Mandalorian, like, 50 or 60 or 70 years in the future compared to the end of Jedi?
No. It's, like, 10 years.
Really?
Yeah. Because The Force Awakens is, like, 20 years after, I think. Or 25 to 30 years. So this is, like, kind of the halfway point.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, because it doesn't take place just before. This takes place kind of like 6 to 10 years after Jedi. So, like, the Empire's in tatters.
Okay, that's what it is. Jon Favreau has said that Mandalorian is set 5 years after the fall of the Empire in Episode 6.
Okay, so.
And it's set 25 years before the rise of the First Order.
Yeah, so.
So. Yeah.
So anyways, they're going to have him come back and portray an older Boba Fett, which is fitting because he was a young clone of Jango. Yep. So it says that Boba Fett is expected to play just a small role in season 2 after the character was teased in the season 1 episode, The Gunslinger, when a mysterious figure sporting the bounty hunter's trademark spurs approached the apparently lifeless body of Fennec Shand. And I didn't catch that. I mean, I caught it, but I didn't realize it was Boba Fett in that episode. But somebody was like, he can't come back as Commander Cody? Play an old man version of one of the clones. Either way, like, I think it's kind of cool that they're bringing him back. And I know that in the expanded universe, they didn't kill him off. And so it's kind of funny to see. Yep. Morrison come back and play Boba.
That'd be cool.
But they're saying that it's always possible that something sneaky involving cloning is going on.
Oh, of course.
So it could be a cloned Boba. Very much. But they're not saying one way or the other. I guess we'll find out. I'm assuming that it's going to be the genuine article. Mm. I think it's going to be the actual Boba Fett. And because, I mean, he's supposed to be the best bounty hunter, although he got bested by a blind man with, you know, on a barge and got the scream of the typical stormtrooper flying into a Sarlacc pit and being swallowed up and burped. So,
yep.
It's either way, it's going to be funny and it'll be interesting. The Mandalorian actually is pretty inventive for being such a different series and beast all to its own. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they pull out of the works with this.
Interesting.
Yes. Interesting. And then kind of speaking of, since we're talking about media in general of streaming or digital, I was advertised this app called My Movie. It's MAI Movie. And I saw it pop up on Facebook because it's one of those stupid ads where it's like, oh, it just pops up and, you know, annoys you. So they have this app and it kind of tells you what, like, the crowd, more or less what general people are liking as far as the content. And then it allows you to like certain movies. So basically you can create a library and kind of, it helps show where your personal tastes kind of lie. And it gives you suggestions of movies that you might like. The nice thing about it is it's kind of a more intuitive IMDb, in a sense, because it tells you the name of the movie, gives you like the poster, tells you what year it came out, how long it is, like a general synopsis, the director and some of the stars, and then it tells you where you can stream it. let me see if I can find my movies I like. Let's say Back to the Future, for instance. And it tells me available streaming services, Netflix, I mean, Amazon Video, YouTube, Google Play Movies, Apple iTunes, you know, Vudu, Showtime, Microsoft Store, Redbox, DirecTV, Flixfling, AMC On Demand. So it tells you all the different sites that it's available on. It says available at 12 out of the 24, or out of the all 74 U.S. streaming services, which I didn't realize there was that many of them, but again, interesting. And then it tells you, you know, that it's got this thing called AI Key Talk, which more or less the app learns movie taste from social media, search keywords, and other diverse crowd data to characterize the movie with the following key talk. So, like, this, the first Back to the Future comes up with, for these keywords, extraordinary, young adulthood, Oscar-worthy performance, more adventurous, fun ride, escapist fun, good clean fun, harmless fun. And then it has, like, the opinion analysis where it's got more or less, like, a Rotten Tomatoes thing.
Right.
And it says the positive sentiment, it's got 80% thumbs up, 20% thumbs down. And then it gives you, like, the keywords that go with each. And then it tells you the awards that the film won and how many nominations.
Cool.
As well as, like, awards from the crowd, and then it gives you the Rotten Tomatoes, Metacritic, and IMDb ratings. Gives you, like, the cast profiles, you know, photos, and the trailer, and then YouTube videos, and among other things. And then it says similar movies to Back to the Future to kind of see what you might like by comparison.
So they can track you. Yep.
Yep. But the interesting thing, like I said, is it's so much more than IMDb.
Yeah.
Which I kind of enjoy that, because I'm one of those annoying people that I've seen movies so many times for some of them. Some of them I don't care. I'll keep watching them over and over. Some of them I'm like, eh, I remember that one too much. It's not really a favorite, so I won't kind of really do anything with it.
Right.
But Mary, on the other hand, will not remember a movie. She's like clean slate every time.
Basically, you married 50 first dates when it comes to movies.
When it comes to movies. And it's a good thing and a bad thing. A good thing in the sense that she can watch anything and she won't really remember it. On the bad part, I've usually seen the movie enough times, because she doesn't remember it, that I don't care to watch it again.
Yep.
But again, I'm that annoying person that'll sit in front of Netflix and keep scanning through trying to find a movie, and she's like, just pick something. So I'm hoping that this will curb that, and I can pick something within a reasonable amount of time by using this app. But it's again, it's called My Movie, MAI Movie, and it's an app, like an AI type app for the phone. I don't know too much about it, other than it's kind of helpful and useful in a number of ways. But I thought it was, again, something kind of interesting to check out.
Very cool.
Especially for movieholics, you know?
Yep.
Yeah,
it sounds like a really interesting thing to be using. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it gives you all the information. Something that tells you without having to Google, you know, where you can stream it is really nice.
Yeah, and that's been one of my biggest pet peeves, is the fact that I can't... there's certain movies I'm like, well, I want to watch, like, let's say, for instance, here, let me pull up the app, because this will be just so much easier for me to do that way. All right, load. All right, no updates right now. So, let me see. Let's see if I search for... Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls. I'm saying that only because I haven't seen that in a while, and I watched the first one the other day, and I didn't realize how bad the first one was.
First one's not bad. The second one is bad.
Well, in places. The part where he comes out of the rhino is probably the worst part in the second one. The first one, I didn't realize how much was in there until I rewatched it. So if I look up, you know, Pet Detective, it tells me that it's on 10 out of the 74 streaming services, which I knew it was on a few of them, like Netflix and Amazon Video, because I have Amazon Prime at the moment. I'm not going to keep it for very long, but I have it for the moment, and I've watched it on Netflix and on there. But yeah, that movie's got crappy scores for ratings. I don't really care. I enjoyed it, but where is... Yeah, so they... I'm trying to see if there's a thing for finding it. Anyways, it told me, like, the ones that it has for the first one anyway. I have yet to figure out how completely that this app works, but where's Ace Ventura 2?
Tune in next week, folks, when Steve knows more about this app.
Fooks? Did you say Fooks?
I said tune in next week, folks, when Steve knows more about this app.
Well, you can also search by actor. So like
Denzel Sonic Washington.
So like Sonic the Hedgehog is in there.
He's not an actor.
No, the movie.
Yeah, I know.
Fun with Dick and Jane. That's like one of my go-to like fun movies that I just enjoy watching. here we go. When Nature Calls. So it's available on 11 out of the 74. Oh, I better watch it soon. It's on Amazon Video. it's on a lot of the other ones too, but out of the 11 out of the 74, but it's not on some of the other big platforms. It was on Hulu for a minute there.
Yeah, there's been a lot of things that have been on Hulu for a minute and then they just immediately disappear.
I've noticed that. I wonder if it's like a rights thing.
It most likely is. Yeah.
But yeah, the the Sonic movie is on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I wonder if it's probably still theater, but let's see. Now I'm just curious. Yeah, you can rent the movie for $4.48 or buy it for $18.48.
Yeah. No thanks. As much as I like the and want to see Sonic, that I'll wait until it actually hits Prime itself before.
It was actually pretty good. I was quite surprised at Jim Carrey's performance and the way that they portrayed Sonic the Hedgehog. Although, is it James Marsden? He's got It's actually kind of funny because he's constantly in these like CG movies with like virtual characters. like he was in Hop.
Yep.
He does a lot of weird choices in movies. It doesn't surprise me anyway. Let's just say that. So, moving on to the final Jeopardy of the night. there's a 80s sci-fi documentary that I became aware of. I don't know where I saw it. I think it must have been shared on Twitter somewhere. But anyways, it's a 4-hour... plus retrospective of 80s sci-fi movies featuring interviews with actors, directors, writers, sci-fi experts, and composers. It's called In Search of Tomorrow, 80s Sci-Fi Documentary. And it's a Kickstarter. And they pledged $39,436. And it's currently at $352,420.
There you go.
With 5 days left and 3,700 backers. So basically, and they've done other projects, similar to this, with like horror and some other different genres. But it says, sci-fi fans, this is your chance to immerse yourself in the world and mythos of 80s science fiction. Our project combines a 4-hour-plus epic documentary with ultimate members-only sci-fi community to create an experience that delivers value from the moment you become a backer. And so, yeah, they have all this stuff that they're teasing, and all kinds of perks with it. But I'm going to link this in the show notes, but the trailer for it's pretty epic, in the sense that it covers pretty much everything. You know, you've got Alien, you've got Arnold movies, you've got RoboCop, you've got Darth Vader, you've got Star Trek, you've got, you know, the DeLorean, Spaceballs, like pretty much anything that was 80s sci-fi is listed in there in the trailer, as well as the poster for it.
Very cool. Very cool.
I'm looking forward to when this drops, because it's iconic because of all the massive amount of different things that came out over the 80s.
Absolutely.
In the sci-fi genre. And we like our 80s and we like our retro.
Yep.
Here at the GCRN.
That's right.
So... yeah, it's I'm really looking forward to seeing how this turns out when it's done.
Yeah, it looks really, really interesting, and if it ever is released to, you know, the general public, I've mentioned before, there's only certain things I can back because of funds. Yep, so
same here.
It's going to be interesting to see if it does get released, you know, for a full release after the funding and after all the backers get their rewards. One of my projects that I'm absolutely happy, I talked about this last week, I think, that is back on Kickstarter is The White Dragon, The Legend of the White Dragon. This is from Bat in the Sun. This is Jason David Frank, you know, Tommy Oliver. They have made their backing. They wanted to get 100 grand. They're at $244,582 currently. If they hit the $250,000 mark, that we will get an extended series. So right now we're at a mini series, and I don't know if that consists of 4 episodes, 5 episodes, 6 episodes, whatever. But if we hit that $250K mark, we will get an extended series. It's got 2 weeks to go, 14 days, and it's got 2,567 backers so far.
Nice.
And it's basically, it's kind of like what we've always wanted as adults. It's basically an adult version of, you know, it's Tommy Oliver. It's the Power Rangers characters. He is, you know, supposed to be the White Dragon, and there's this new villain, Dragon Prime, that they're going to be doing or using or whatever. So it's this whole original story with Power Rangers characters, and it looks really, really good. So...
nice.
Very happy about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, other than that, I don't really have anything else to tease.
Nope, I don't think so. I'll say this, folks. Look for some 80s psychedelic. I know technically it was 70s psychedelic, but look for some 80s retro from us pretty soon. So very, very cool. That's coming up.
Yeah, that's a project I'm working on.
It's a work in progress.
It's a work. Yes.
Yes.
Why, yes.
Oh man.
Yep.
I don't think there's anything else though.
I will say, if people are looking and not necessarily, I'm not being paid for this, not that, whatever. Again, I've mentioned how I've been listening to other podcasts since I'm not really doing podcasting the way I need to do it for myself with the technology and all that. Mm-hmm. There's been several things that I've been listening to, and man, if I don't love Michael Rosenbaum's Inside of You, I've listened to two or three episodes. The main one I listened, the first one I listened to was when Stephen Amell returned. Poor dude had a panic attack in the middle of the podcast. Came back, Stephen Amell? And finished it. Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'll send it to you off air. So the poor dude, Stephen Amell, had a panic attack while they were talking on Rosenbaum's podcast, and they did some sort of break in editing or whatever, and he came back and finished it, like, I don't know, a week or so later or whatever it was. But yeah, it was really, really out there. And I don't even know how I think it was one of my Google feed things. You know how most of these entertainment websites, oh my God, Stephen Amell has panic attack on podcast. And I'm like, what? So I listened to that episode. I listened to the episode with Michael Head, Grant Gustin on The Flash. I think his most recent episode is Dave Bautista, who is an actor slash wrestler. He had Brandon Routh on. I listened to that. That was interesting. So very, very cool. Check that out. I guess if people would like to check out the rest of the stuff that we create, obviously geekcastradio.com.
Of course, they can check out there, or they can check out our social media pages. But probably the best place for them to go would be geekcastradio.com. Ton of old content there, ton of new stuff coming. Slight website revamp coming in the near future. And totally different logo revamp. We're going to take a whole new aesthetic. For the future, being that we're over 10 years old now.
Yes, we are 11 this year.
Yes, we are 11. We're old. Yay.
I will send you his I will send you the Inside of You website so you can put it in the post so people can check it out. It's on Apple Podcasts, it's on Spotify, it's on whatever. But Dave Bautista was the most recent one as of a week ago. As of right now, the most recent one. Your favorite Apple buddy, Justin Long. I love those old Apple versus PC commercials. So yeah, Justin Long from, you know, Die Hard 4. What was that? Dodgeball. Been in a bunch of stuff. Yeah. He actually had Beverly D'Angelo on last month. She was the mom in Christmas Vacation.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was the mom on all of the Vacation movies.
True. Michael Rooker was on about a month ago or so. So, yeah, I mean, lots of cool. And I like listening to Rosenbaum. I've actually always wanted us to interview him at one point or another, but it just has never really happened. But I like listening to his show. It's a pretty cool show.
Nice, nice.
Yep.
So until next time, we have been...
I've been Steve Megatron.
And I've been TFG1 Mike. Get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.